We are now going to have our scripture reading. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 9 if you want to read along, but you certainly don't need to. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 27. Matthew 9, 27. You ready? Okay. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him throughout all the land.
There we go. Good morning, everybody.
Ooh.
You go with her.
Ooh.
Did someone turn this up in between? Because I'm really hot now all of a sudden. Wow. Anyway, I'll turn that down. Anyway, good morning, church. It's good to see you. Good to be with you. It's good to sing with you. It's good to pray with you. It's good to be with you. And it's a privilege to be anywhere the church gathers, I sincerely think. It's also good to be standing in a pulpit again, and that's another story. Yay! Anyway, we do have a few visitors here this morning, and so you have a bit of a reprieve from the memory verse. But Paul Winkler is preaching next Sunday, and I fully expect you to have give him a good memory-only version. But today, let's start with our memory verse of the year, as we always have. John 14, 6 and 7 says, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Would you join me in a moment of prayer, please? Most gracious Holy Father, who indeed reveals himself in Jesus Christ, we thank you so much that you have shown us who you are through the person of Jesus. We thank you so much that you have shown us who you are through the mountains and the oceans and the stars and the clouds and the sunrises and sets, through creation itself. I pray, God, that you are seen through the church, through your people, both in our actions and both in that you are making us a little more like Jesus each and every day. I pray because of that, God, or in that, I pray that each of us are desiring and striving to be a little more like Jesus each and every day, that we may show you all the more as light in the world. Though we'll never match your sunsets, Lord, we can bring light into a little darkness, and that's our life fulfilled. We pray, God, for this lesson. I pray for the hearts and minds that hear it. I pray for the mouth and tongue that speaks it. And I pray above all that you are glorified, that you are praised. Thank you, Lord, for this gathering as we celebrate yet another day of living in you underneath the lordship of your Son, whose name we pray in. Amen. Ah, it's good to see you. It's just good to be here. I'm sorry. I'm excited. I'm always excited, but I'm still excited. It's still true. Today we are finishing up our Gifts of God series with a lesson, as has already been said, from Matthew 9, the gift of sight. There's something about seeing. There's something about being there, being able to see something, about being an eyewitness to something. And I want to, this week, there were two pictures that really stood out to me and our family. There was a picture of, maybe some of you saw it on Facebook, of our boys decorating a mini cake that they had, and they had sprinkles, and they were both sitting in their jammies, and they were sitting there, and one of them kind of has a smirk as he does. I won't tell you which one. One had a big smile. I won't tell you which one. And it was just awesome. And I wish you were there. There's another one that Amy posted online of our little girl, Miss Mariah, smiling, just a big old grin, watching her brothers, and you just can't. In fact, I wanna show you this picture, just because it's such an awesome picture of both the boys. Can you see that? Come on, it's right there. Can you see it? Okay, fine. You can't miss this. You can't miss this smile, can you? I mean, come on. Can you see that? Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm sorry that I wish there was a way I could, you know, show it with you. A little better. But, you know, this is the best I got. But the thing is, it's important to... I put together the slideshow, so there. The thing is, and here's just why I illustrate this with this point, that I can tell you all about the boys' jammies, their smiles, their cakes. I can tell you all about the little wrinkles that form in Mariah's eyes whenever she smiles and the way she opens her mouth whenever she smiles with a big grin. But the thing is, no matter how well I describe it, no matter how detailed I get, no matter how, if I get down to the hair color and what they were wearing, there's nothing beats seeing it. Especially when they're that cute, if I do say so myself. They take after their mother, obviously. Amen. Indeed. The thing is, we're visual people. A lot of us are. We do learn in different ways, but regardless of main learning style, human beings in general see things and relate to things better than they do almost anything else. There are some people who are more visceral, they're more auditory learners, but generally we all see things. That's why I think whenever social media came out, everyone took pictures of their food. Because I can tell you that the steak looks great, and I can call you and tell you, oh, this is amazing, or I can just show it to you. And obviously, me describing a filet mignon with a bit of brown sauce on top, pepper encrusted, it might make you hungry, if you're hungry. But usually, if you see that, if you like it, then that helps. There's something about sight. There's something about showing. There's something about seeing. There's something about being shown. We have an illustration of this in Matthew 9. Of both seeing and being shown. Turn with me to the text, if you will. It's a great text. It's a short text, but it's a great text. And by the way, this is a Christmas Eve sermon. Just wait for it. Don't worry. As Silas read, as Jesus passed on, now hold on just a minute there. Let's recap just really quick. We've been going through Matthew 8 and Matthew 9, and we've been seeing Jesus' authority manifest in the world. We've seen Jesus have authority over diseases. We've had Jesus have authority over nature. We've had Jesus have authority over sickness and hunger. We've had Jesus have authority over nature itself. We've had Jesus have authority over evil. In the beginning of Matthew 9, we've had Jesus having authority over sin. We've had Jesus have authority over calling when he called Matthew, regardless of his past. We've had Jesus have authority over new life last week, in that Jesus doesn't come to make good people or bad people good, but to make dead people live. And today, we have the gift of sight. As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him. Now, just stop right there for a minute. It's good to actually read the text and actually see what it says. I don't know how two blind men followed Jesus, but that's what Matthew says they did. That in itself is a pretty cool thing. You see, especially when you have the context of this time, we see a blind person now, and we have mercy, we have pity, we try to help them. There are things in place generally in society to help people. Not so much. Blindness was looked upon the same as bleeding, like the woman, the same as leprosy. It was looked upon as tough for you. It was looked upon as something which was undesirable, obviously. It was looked upon something that was, you must have done something wrong in order to have that thrust upon you. It was looked upon as God's curse. And it was looked upon as something which not you help, but something that you stay away from. Yet again, church, do we see the outcasts of society follow Jesus. And it's interesting what they ask. They cry out, says the text. They don't just come and say, excuse me, Jesus, we were wondering if you might help us with our problem. They cry out. Rightly so. Can you imagine any of these stories we've had? Can you imagine having leprosy? Can you imagine being unclean? Can you imagine having bleeding that would make you an outcast of society? Can you imagine having demons? Can you imagine being paralyzed? If you have an opportunity that you believe to take care of it, you don't just come and go, excuse me. The opportunity is there. One might imagine that you seize it, and these two men did. They cried out to Jesus, and it's interesting what they say. They ask for the very thing that society and people have not given them. They ask for mercy. Because they believed that Jesus could show them mercy. And when he entered the house, did you catch that? Jesus actually went into the house, and the blind man followed him into the house. I think that's awesome. Two blind men following him inside a structure. I don't know whose structure it is. I don't know whose house it is. Jesus is probably going to someone to rest and be have a meal. They follow him in. They follow him in. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Now it's interesting. In other times, Jesus just heals people. Or he just states, because of your belief that I heal you. But here, he asks. Because I think he wanted to draw out just what they were after. He wanted to draw out their belief. He wanted to draw out where they stood. He wanted to draw out their faith in him. And they said to him, yes, Lord. Confirming to Jesus what he already knew, that yes, they believed in him as the Messiah. By answering Jesus, they opened the doorway for him to work in their lives. And finally, he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to what I have seen of your faith, said Jesus, I will help you see. And their eyes were opened. And they saw. Jesus saw two believing men reap the benefits of their faith. And they, we don't know how long they were blind, possibly for the first time ever, saw. And who did they see? They saw the very person by which we see all things. C.S. Lewis writes that faith in Jesus is much like my faith in the sun. Not that I see it directly, but by it I see everything else. These two men saw for the first time because of their faith in the one who has come to give us real, true sight. And Jesus says, sternly warn them, see them, no one knows about this. And one might wonder why. Well, actually it makes a lot of sense. This is still fairly early in Jesus' ministry, and Jesus wants to make sure that he does what he needs to do to make sure that his purpose is not misinterpreted among people. That, remember the John 6, maybe you do, maybe you don't. In John 4 and 5, Jesus comes and he feeds the 5,000, he feeds the 4,000. In John 6, they come to him because, hey, by now he's a meal ticket. And Jesus says, I fed you twice. You need to hear real truth now. And they go, bleh. This is something that Jesus works against quite a bit. Is Jesus misinterpreting his actions? Or people misinterpreting Jesus' actions and only coming to him for the benefit and not the walk of faith? So Jesus says, don't tell anyone about this. But the thing is, when you see something, you've got to share. You have to share it. When you see something for the first time and go, wow, this is amazing, you can't keep it quiet. Hence people with their food, I guess, but hence me with my kids. I can't be quiet about them. When you see something, when you experience something for the first time and you go, wow, other people need this. A lot of people can't help but say, here's where I got this. In fact, quick side note, that's one of my favorite definitions of evangelism, as a matter of fact. Not going out and having 10 Bible studies every week and not going out and converting someone on the spot. But one of my favorite definitions of evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. That's wonderful. Side note, back to the text. They saw, and they couldn't keep it to themselves. Because for the first time, they truly saw, physically and spiritually. And plus, not to mention, most likely these men were known, so it wouldn't take long for someone to see. Weren't you blind? What happened? I can't talk about it. No, they would say, this man came and he touched my eyes and he healed me. It's all about sight. The theme of this passage is true sight. And the thing is about this passage is that this passage illustrates an aspect of Christmas very, very well. You see, Jesus, according to our scriptures, is God incarnate. It means he was once equal with God. Philippians 2, Paul writes, as many of you know, Paul writes that he who was once equal with God did not count equality with God something to be held on to or taken advantage of, but instead emptied himself, lowering himself to the form of a servant, in the form of a man, even lower to death on a cross, and from that God glorified him. But that saying is that Jesus, who was once equal with God, emptied himself of all the advantages of that, and came in our form to show us who God really is. To show us what a godly life really is like. To show us how to live in true love. To show us how to live in truth and be truth. To show us what it means to be light. To show us what it means to stand against evil. To show us who we ought and were meant to be. Imagine if Jesus came, he lived his life, he might have healed a few people, maybe. Then he got crucified on a cross, died, buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and never told anyone. Imagine if he had never invited anyone along with him. Imagine if he had never shown his apostles and disciples what it means to live this way. Imagine if he had never shown anyone himself, revealed himself to anyone. He came, he died, he saw, he rose, and no one knows. That's silly because I think of, we're so accustomed to reading what he did, and it wouldn't benefit anyone. The thing is, church, I'm not saying us in here, but just the principle is, Christians often want to act that way. Christians often want to have the benefits of Jesus to themselves. Not selfishly, but sometimes in the middle of the world, in the middle of the work week, in the middle of strife and stress, in the middle of people cussing at you, or in the middle of stressful situations, in the middle of dealing with people who don't know God or might make fun of you for your belief, in the middle of people who obviously don't care, who obviously have no idea who God is, in the middle of people who want your time and attention, in all the middle of the stresses of the week, sometimes, I know I have at least, been guilty of thinking, you know, it'd be easier at this moment not to really show people my full Christian self, because it's, well, they'll see it. And what'll happen? Maybe they won't like me. Maybe they'll cuss me out. Maybe they'll actually want something from me. Maybe they want me to help them and I don't have any money on me. The excuses pile up. The thing is, church, what's integral to Christianity and what started on that day 2,000 years ago, when a little boy was born to a virgin, was the beginning of God himself showing us himself. That's what our memory verse is talking about. It's not just something to repeat and not just something to memorize. It's good to meditate on it. It's good to reflect on it. But hopefully we haven't said it so many times that you forget what it's saying. That Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To whom? I am the way to God. I am the truth about God. I am the life in God. And no one comes to the Father except through the life that I am showing you. And Jesus says, if you know me, if you know me, because I know my Father, if you know me, you know my Father as well. If you see me, if you see what I'm doing, if you see what I am, then you know God and you see God as well. It reminds me a lot of preschool, as a matter of fact. What? In preschool, one of my favorite times of the month, it was only once a month in my preschool, and yes, I remember all the way back to when I was four. Actually, I remember a very specific moment. Was show and tell. Do we still do show and tell? I hope they do, because it was awesome. Except for the one time that I was selfish, and I brought my little Batmobile from Batman and Animated Series, and I wanted to play with it for playtime, which was kind of against the rules, and someone else took it. And I was kind of mad. But then my teacher reminded me of the rules and said, no, it's not for you. You have come to show and you've come to tell others about your toy so that they may experience it too. And I was like, nah, I don't want to. I'll be honest, I was four, but I mean, I didn't want to. But the thing is, I've never forgotten that lesson. Because show and tell is not about you. It's about showing others what you have. It's about showing others what you desire. It's about showing others what you've experienced. It's about showing others potentially, in a preschool case, the fun they can have with that toy. It's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow, many of you, many people across the world and the nation and everywhere will be exchanging gifts. I have a gift for you today. Gentlemen? Wyatt and Garrett are going to start passing these around. One per person, please, and feel free to look at them. And I'll wait a little bit to expound upon what they are until they're all passed out. The thing is, church, we are called to be salt and light. Matthew 5 very eloquently tells us that light in a city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor a lamp hidden under a cover. They're meant to be shown. They're meant to shine, and they're meant to be seen by all men. The first thought I want to leave you with today is in celebrating tomorrow, the celebration of Jesus' birth, is that for all the pomp and circumstance that has come from this day, it is first and foremost the day and the manner and in the person in which God has revealed himself to us. Scripture tells us we are to be like Jesus. Right after Romans 8, it tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son because Jesus has shown us the way and who we are to be like. What I have for you now are little mirrors. They're 2-inch mirrors. They're perfect for sticking in your pocket, for your purse. Thank you, sir. Wherever you would like to put them. And I do invite you, thank you, sir, to put them somewhere. I'm going to carry mine around in my pocket, actually, for this week. I don't think it's too big. But the thing is, church, the question I want to leave you with today, as you look at this mirror, is the question that's on the back. Who are you showing? Now, the thing is, church, there's actually two parts to that question. I challenge you today with the first question. Of whom are you showing? Who are you showing people? As has been talked about today many, many times, whatever you fill your mind with, whatever you fill your heart with, that is what you will dwell on and that is what you will become. I challenge you today for this to be a small reminder to always intentionally, purposefully be showing Jesus and everything that implies. It means that in order to show Jesus, we have to get to know Him. We have to be in His Word. We have to see His life. We have to really see who He is. We have to be in a good relationship with Him. We need to pray. We need to be able to reflect. We need to be in that good standing with Him. And we need to strive towards the goal that Jesus shows us. So it's not just a simple question. But neither is the second. Not only who are you showing people, but I invite you for this to be a little reminder of what people are you showing. Especially among Christmas, around this Christmas season, the one time maybe a year where the world is somewhat open to hearing the name of Jesus proclaimed rather freely, maybe it might be easy to say, Lord bless you. Maybe easier to pray for people, but if you hang on to this out of the Christmas season, it's a lot harder to purposely show Jesus in all He needs to be and all we need to in the middle of July, in the middle of people, in the middle of life. Once the holiday seasons and tidings and greetings have faded away, it's harder. But my gift to you today, small little gift, is a little reminder that you can keep with you this week. And I do invite you to keep it with you this week and ask yourself the question, who am I showing? Who am I showing people? And what people am I showing? That's where that'll stay this week. The passage in Matthew 9 tells us that Jesus has the authority to give us sight. We may see us in the church who have come to Him and become His bride can indeed see through Scripture, through prayer, through Jesus' power in the Holy Spirit. We may indeed come to see, have our spiritual eyes open to see who Jesus is, so that way we may see the physical need in the world. And because of that, church, it's our responsibility, as it is with the blind man in the passage, to not just keep it to ourselves. After all, Jesus never told us to keep it to ourselves. Jesus told us to proclaim Him. Go and make disciples across every nation. My favorite part about that Great Commission is that it doesn't mean go a specific place in a specific time in a specific manner. It means as you are going, make disciples. As you are going, show Jesus. And as you are going to the people who you're around, show them who God really is through Jesus in you. And if you have quite trouble with that, remember, the greatest ministry on earth started as a little baby. The greatest ministry on earth was also human. And God was able to work through him. And God is able to work through us. Who are you showing? Merry Christmas as we stand and sing.